Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. I was praying about what to talk about. So tonight, we're still doing the Spiritual Warfare series. I have to say this. One good thing about God continually taking us from glory to glory and continually dealing with our heart issues, it keeps you sensitive to what it feels like when God's dealing with you. Amen? So I encourage anyone in ministry, if you're not letting God deal with your heart to where you can be humble and you can recognize how difficult it is to really let God into your heart and deal with issues, I encourage you to spend some of your time asking God to cleanse your heart. Amen? And so he has an awesome way of doing that. And so we have a Facebook Live that's out there, a video that you can watch to give more details. But let's just say from that, I'm going to teach tonight the most powerful weapon of spiritual warfare. And of course, we all know the most powerful weapon in the spirit realm is Holy Spirit. Amen? He is the only victory. He is the only answer. He's the only power that can overcome the power of darkness. Amen? Only God's power can overcome the power of darkness. But if you look at us, we are these creatures made in the image of God, right? Born into this world. We're these creatures who were created for God's good pleasure. We were created in a way to communicate with God. We were created in a way to please God. We were created in a way to want to worship God. And worship is a normal part of every person who's born. That's why you have teen idols and people, girls going crazy and screaming and yelling over musicians and loving, movie stars and all, people having pictures of people on their walls. And all of that is part of how we were created. But it's supposed to be Jesus, amen? It's supposed to be Jesus that we're worshiping. It's supposed to be Jesus that, so we were actually created with a desire to worship and to look to someone bigger than ourselves. And so that's why you see, all these people who touch God's glory and think that fame is about them. And that's what happened to Lucifer. Lucifer, touched God's glory and began to want that worship from the angels. He wanted that worship. And so he began to get so puffed up and prideful that he actually thought somehow he deserved it and he could handle that and win it. And everybody knows that that's going to lead to destruction. Amen? So when we're looking for the most powerful tool of spiritual warfare, if you want to call it a tool or a weapon, it is direct communication with God. Amen? If you really want to win spiritual warfare every single time, then you need to hear God. And we have teaching on our website at beautyfrashes.org. That's beautyfrashes.org, where you can go and see some of this teaching. There's resources. We're also on the YouTube. We have a channel, Cindy Foster-Beautyfrashes Ministries. And so all of that is out there for you. And I encourage you to get it and listen and go back and listen later, because a lot of the teaching is so packed with so many different things the Lord wants to get across to different people that you can listen to it over and over and get more revelation. So, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another. Amen? Well, I want somebody to get this. Everybody acts like everybody gets to hear God then. No, his sheep. His sheep. And what's a sheep? A sheep is someone who recognizes that they need a shepherd. A sheep is someone who has been conditioned by the shepherd to trust him. Whoa. Amen? Let me say this again. A sheep in the pasture is conditioned by a shepherd to trust him, to depend on him. So a shepherd protects the sheep. Shepherd takes them to where they need to eat. Shepherd does everything for their well-being. Amen? And whenever sheep strays away from that, the shepherd will leave in some kind of care the others and go find the one. But they say he'll actually break the legs of a sheep that keeps wandering away to make the sheep so dependent on him. How many feel like sometimes God has helped to break our legs? Amen? The enemy likes to break our legs, literally, when we keep wandering away from the will of God. Amen? So when I wander away from the will of God, I open myself up to be attacked. And when I open myself up to be attacked, if I want to have victory and overcome, I will humble myself and go to my shepherd, Jesus, amen, through the Holy Spirit, and I will realize how dependent I am on him, how I need his divine protection, how I need to hear him. And so the whole idea of when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they won't follow another, that isn't every born-again person hears my voice. That isn't every single person who says they're a Christian hears my voice. It actually says, my sheep hear my voice, which means there's a reason he said it that way. Amen? And that just answered a lot for a lot of people. So anyone who's living in blatant sin is not his sheep hearing his voice. They are not being led by him as their shepherd. Amen? They're out doing their own thing and hearing whatever voice this enemy wants to speak to them to make them think it's okay to live in their sin and their garbage. That's not hearing his voice. Actually, if you keep playing that game, many times in the psychiatry world, they will call you schizophrenic. Amen? Because you will let a spirit get in that will cause a mental illness of being led by demonic voices. That's not a good place to be. Amen? So we want to know that we are his sheep. Right? So spiritual warfare, we need to be his sheep. We need to recognize our sheep. And he's just giving me this message right now. So let's go look up. I had no idea what we were going to be talking about. I guess we found out together. So where is that scripture on his sheep? John 10. Okay. It's in there a couple places. All right. John 10. Okay. And I'm just going to go ahead and read out of the Amplified for fun. I assure you, this is Jesus speaking. See, it's written in red on my, even on my iPad. Okay. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up from some other place, that one is a thief and a robber. Okay. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd of the sheep, according to the Amplified, is the protector and the provider. The doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to pasture. So when we're listening to Jesus, when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, he will start to lead us. Amen. He will take us out to pasture. What would pasture represent biblically? The rest. The rest. Enter into the rest of God. God's going to take me where I need to go. He's going to show me what I need to do. So if I'm doing spiritual warfare, isn't it awesome if really all I need to do to win is to do what he tells me? Now, it's not that easy. Has anybody else ever experienced that? Because there's a lot of other voices talking. There's our own voice talking. There's demonic voices talking. There's all this input from all these places. So a real part of overcoming and winning in spiritual warfare is getting quiet before the Lord and really hearing him. Amen? And you need to make time for that. Sometimes people get in a trial and they call this person and that person and run here and run there and listen to doctors and do this, and they say things out of their own mouths that actually make the situation worse, because we've learned there's life and death is in our tongue, and we're going to release angels or we're going to release demons. And so we need to be quiet. When a trial hits us, when fear hits us, when the attack hits us, we need to be quiet and make the time to hear from God. If that means fast, then fast. In prayer, then pray. If it means, you know, you can't do anything else, then just set everything down and hear from God. And everybody knows the story. And if you don't, go to our Facebook page or go to our website, beautyfreshes.org, and look up The Spiritual Side of Tragedy. It's also on YouTube. And you'll hear my story of how in the middle of the worst trial of my life, I had to hear God. I had to forget that the rescue workers were in the house. I had to forget that this horrific thing was going on right there. and my daughter was, you know, basically was already gone to heaven, and her body was in my yard. And I had to, I actually went into a prayer closet, closed the door to hear God. And it took this first desire to win this thing. I have to hear what God is saying. Amen. So I want you to get the most powerful, powerful weapon to win in spiritual warfare is to hear God and to obey God. Amen. So don't try all these formulas and all these rituals and everything that's worked for somebody else. You need to hear what God is saying is going to work for you. Amen? Amen? And he'll talk to you in different ways because he does this because he wants that relationship. Amen? He wants you to trust him as a shepherd. He wants you to enter into that place where there's no longer fear. He wants you to enter into the place where even when the enemy hits, I mean, when the enemy used to hit, there'd be so much panic. In pretended faith, you jump right into all the formulas. Say this, do this, blah, 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 you know. But when you mature and you come to this place of trusting God and you have faith in God, then you just basically get still. And hear his voice, however he wants to reveal that. And you don't pretend you hear him before you hear him. And you don't depend on what he said yesterday. Amen? You need, what are you telling me today? His word is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. But what does it say about mammon, the food that God gave in the wilderness? It's good one day, and then it's rotten. Why? Because he was teaching them to trust him. So his word is always good. But in your situation, if it's not the word he's given you for that moment and that time and that trial and that victory, it's going to be of no value to you for that situation. Amen? So get that, people. People, I've had this word, by his stripes I'm healed. And you've been through 10 years of being sick. You're not anywhere near healed. You're worse off. And you still say, that's your word. Well, no, you better get to the today word. What do I need to do today, Lord, to receive this healing that was poured out? What do I need to do today to take this authority out of the hands of the enemy? Amen? And don't think what you did yesterday is what you're going to do today. Amen? Yes, there's basic principles and basic spiritual laws, and you can go to the website for that. But the bottom line is, what is he telling me? Amen? So the most powerful thing is develop a real relationship with God where you hear him. And there's teaching on that, but let me just say, be in the word. Really read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and understand Jesus. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know television's version of Jesus. I do not want to know a man-made doctrine version of Jesus. I want to know what he says. That's why I like using the literal translation myself. What does Jesus say? What does he do? How does he treat people? Jesus, reveal Jesus to me, Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit's greatest, greatest honor to reveal Jesus Christ to you. Amen? And then to transform you into his image. That's his overall purpose and desire. All right. So the doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to him. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own sheep outside, he walks ahead of them. Whoa, there's an important one. If you want to, your whole life should want to be a life of victory, amen? But since we're kind of focusing in on spiritual warfare for this few months, if I want to win in spiritual warfare, everybody knows what spiritual warfare means. It means I'm in a trial, the devil is attacking me, and I haven't yet got to the count it all joy part. How do you know when you've entered the rest and it's not pretended? You actually have the count it all joy. You can get on with your life even in the midst of the trial. You're not constantly struggling with the trial, even if it's not finished. You could be adding to your faith perseverance. But there comes this peace that passes understanding. Amen? This peace that passes understanding. It's not pretended. It's real. You couldn't make it up. You're not on meds. You're not on alcohol. You're not on drugs. You're not doing all the things that the world and even the medicine tries to do to imitate the peace that only Holy Spirit can give you. And I encourage you, get off the other stuff, led by the Holy Spirit, work with your doctor, but have a goal and a desire to live in the peace that passes understanding that comes from being led by the one true shepherd. Amen? Amen? Okay, so we want him ahead of us, which means I want him to be leading me. So when you're in a trial, when spiritual warfare is attacking, whatever it is, you have to stop living in fear and say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you show me. I'll do whatever you show me. And anybody in here who's done this for any length of time, it's not that easy, right? The enemy hits intensely. There's stuff going on inside of you that you don't understand. There's everything from the past the enemy can bring into your thinking hits you. Then there's people with good intentions doing the wrong things around you. And every weapon of the enemy that you ever embraced is wanting to be used or picked back up. Amen? At the same time, there's some the enemy's inventing that you hadn't even heard of yet that he's trying to get to pick up new. And hopefully as believers, we at least don't pick up any of the devil's stuff after we're saved, although we all know that happens sometimes. All right. He walks ahead of them. The sheep follow him only because they know his voice and they recognize his call. So how many see, if I'm going to be led by God into victory, I have to know the voice of the Lord. I mean, I have to know his voice. I have to be led by him. You will not know his voice without believing his word. The Bible says, God is not a man that he can lie. Let every man be considered a liar, but believe God. So people can come up with me with all their humanistic understanding and this great book they read and some spiritual something and this. If it doesn't line up with his word and then his heart to the revelation that I walk in knowing his heart, you're not going to convince me. You can debate intellectually till you're blue in the face. It's not going to stop me from knowing what his word says, that his spirit revealed to me, that lines up with his character and produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And intellectually, you're dark. Intellectually, everybody's darkened. Our intellects are darkened. Our intellects cannot do this. Your intellect cannot get you out of a trial. It might dig the hole deeper. Amen? So, and you might think you got out of the trial, but you just probably got yourself into a setup for the future. So basically, Lord, I'm dependent on you. I'm going to follow you. What is a sheep? I've got to trust that you're going to protect me, God. So if I was wounded by an authority figure or an authority figure wasn't there to protect me, if your father wasn't in the picture or if something traumatic happened to you, even in the womb or at birth, you can actually have a hurt place in you that cannot trust that anyone, including God, really loves you and cares about you enough to take care of you. Amen? And so you really need to get healed there. And we've got teaching all over the internet on healing with altar calls for that. I encourage you to get healed from the places where you were abandoned. Get healed from the places where you were rejected. Get healed from a feeling that you've always, you know, how can you tell if you had this thing, you know, as a generational curse at conception or at a young age? Because you can never remember not having it. You can't go back and say, this is when this got in. And that means you need to look at generational curses. And that's another whole teaching. But you want to bust generational curses. When God shows you something like he showed me last night was a generational curse, then I break it right after that by the blood of Christ over my children. Amen? I break it over my children. It's so cool to watch what God does. If we would all be able to count it joy and understand this powerful, awesome God and this Holy Spirit who all he wants to do, people, is set us free. It's for freedom that he sets us free. He likes us free. He's not even setting us free to serve him. He's setting us free because he loves us and he wants us free. And then we get a heart to say, I want to serve this God. What an awesome God. I want to do what this God wants me to do. He's my God. He's God. I get that. Being protected by him and led by him and letting him take care of life's decisions and it's great. It's so freeing. The world, all these other voices, you better do this, you need to do this, you need to make this much money, you need to live here, you better do this, your time is running out for this, blah, 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 blah. Just, you need to shut all that down and hear God. Amen? Because he knows what he has for you. He knows what he created you to walk in. So we want to recognize his voice and we want to recognize his call. They will never follow a stranger. Now remember, this is those who know that he's walking ahead of them. They're following him, they know his voice, and they recognize his call. They recognize when he's speaking to them, they recognize what he's calling them to, and those people will never follow a stranger. It doesn't say a born-again believer will never follow a stranger, does it? It doesn't say someone who's heard scripture and sat in church all the year will not follow a stranger, does it? So get that, okay? Because a lot of people say, I'm his sheep, so therefore I hear his voice, so whatever I hear has to be him. You're not necessarily his sheep. And everybody said, ooh-wee. Okay. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Let me encourage you. If the enemy has been leading you and talking to you and trying to be your shepherd for years, but probably making you think it's you, an independent spirit we talked about before, it's on the internet somewhere, you can find it, then recognize this. If you're still following that and listening to that, you need to go deeper in some deliverance. Amen? Because you're supposed to run away. You're supposed to run away from that other voice. Does it say you don't hear the other voice? No. It says you run away from the other voice, which means I can hear the wrong voice, but I'm going to run away from it. And so ask the Holy Spirit, get everything out of my heart that would still follow the voice of the past. Get everything out of my heart that would follow a rebellious voice. Get everything out of my heart that would follow a cultural voice. Get everything out of my heart that would follow another voice. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep. So Jesus is the door. Amen? So what does that mean? If I want to get outside this building right here, using that side of the building, let me just sit up here. If I want to get outside here, what is my only way out? The door. Amen? That door is the only way out. So if I want to get out that door, if I want to go outside, if I want to go where that leads, which I'm not recommending to anybody right now, that parking lot needs some fixing, but I go through that door. What Jesus is saying, if you want life, if you want protection and provision, if you want to enter into a place the Bible calls the rest where God's in charge, there's only one way to get there, and it's through him. He's the only way there. Anyone who thinks they're there, who came in through many different gods and many different ways to God and all the New Age and all the humanistic teaching and all the religious baloney out there, they are hearing and following the wrong voice. Amen? Y'all are really not amen and loud tonight. I'm going to get another group. All right. And all who came before me, false messiahs, self-appointed leaders, are thieves, robbers, but the true sheep did not hear them. How many realize if I'm going to win in spiritual warfare, I need to be a true sheep? I need to really have a hunger to only hear his voice. I need to renounce all the other voices. I need to recognize where I need to trust God as my protector and my provision. I need to get rid of all the independent spirit kind of stuff. I really, really need to be completely dependent upon Jesus Christ for everything. Amen? He says, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved, live forever, and will go in and out freely and find pasture. They call it spiritual security. So basically, this to me is saying anyone who finds Jesus Christ as the door will walk in so much freedom as they can go into the throne room of God, ruling and reigning with Christ, which we have our teaching here on Friday nights and our meetings for that. And they can come. They always have God in them. There's a freedom now that everywhere I go, I'm following him. Everywhere I go, I hear his voice. No matter what's going on around me, I have God in front of me. So whom can I fear? There should be no problem. It doesn't mean you won't be in some really amazing situations. You can look at the book of Acts and tell that, right? And if you get into some adventures in God, I've had adventures in God. And I've had situations that would be so frightful that I have to stop myself and say, okay, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear you. So I just want to encourage everybody to overcome anything and to win in spiritual warfare and to have an awesome life. We need to decide it is worth getting a real relationship with God. Only through Jesus can we get there. If we tried to get there any other way, whoa, we need to renounce that and break his power right now, because you can kind of go there and have 100 different voices saying they're God. And if you don't renounce that, completely renounce that you thought there was another way to God, that you thought there was more than one way to God, you just opened yourself up for a lot of lies and delusion. And Satan is not going to necessarily bring you into his trap until, you know, he can subtly do it. Amen? So we want to say, Lord, forgive me for all the false ways I thought that I could get to you. Forgive me for buying into lies that weren't in your word. And I just only want to hear your voice. Lord, you are the door, and I'm going to enter in through you, Lord, and be saved. The word saved means eternal salvation, healing, deliverance, really everything we need to live a powerful life. We will go in and out freely. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you see this, you get, okay, spiritual warfare is against a thief. It can be, it's against a thief, it's against the devil, whose intention is to come to kill, steal, and destroy. How many know he's pretty good at it? There's probably not anyone in here who has had something stolen from you, someone taken out before it was their time to really go, and things destroyed in your life, relationships and all kinds of things. That is not God. Amen? That is not God. Don't call those things, when these evil things happen to you, don't think that that's God. And if you do, you're hearing the wrong voice. He's really clear here. It's easy to know if this thing is out to kill, steal, and destroy, it's not God. Amen? It's the enemy trying to destroy my walk with God and break through and destroy this life that I'm living in God. All right. Now, Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life to a full abundance overflowing. So don't get in a religious kick that your life has to be miserable and suffering and horrible. Because Jesus came to give me a full life, full of joy, full of enjoyment. Amen. And I enjoy that. I mean, I do not feel guilty that God has blessed me with an awesome family. I do not feel guilty that God has blessed me with a house I like. Amen. And yards and my, I just love my life. You're supposed to love your life in Christ. But I'm not looking to have a fancier life. I'm not, I'm dissatisfied. I wish I could live on the water. I'm not satisfied. I wish this. I've loved my life when John and I were in a little tiny apartment when we first got married. I thought it was the greatest place in the world. And when we bought all of our furniture when we first moved in, all you Newlyweds people, and he was still in college. He had another year to go. And I was working a department store in between going back to college to make ends meet. And we had $600 that we got from a wedding gift. And we stopped at one of those really, I don't recommend it, furniture stores where I'm telling you that we had a love seat for a couch. That thing was made of strict cardboard. I'm telling you what, you could not, and it had wood on the edge. You couldn't, and then we had chrome glass tables. I'm talking about, I was so thrilled. We had a end table, two end tables, and that one that goes in front, the same size of the thing. And that was our furniture. I thought it was the most, let me be nice. Some people might like tweed plaid and green, two shades of green, and not my style now, okay? But I thought that was the nicest. Why'd you pick that one? Because that was the one they had this five-piece set for $100, $200 or whatever it was. And we thought we were living. My first Christmas tree, we went and cut it down. John cut it down. Then after that, he cut his hand. So we buy them from now on. But now ours are fake. But anyhow, I made every single ornament on that tree. I sold them by hand, little tiny dove birds and bells and put them. And we were very thankful because that whole tree fell over and there was nothing that could break because it was all these little stuffed animals. But I'm telling you, I thought it was, change your attitude, people. Change your attitude and start living in the revelation of enjoying your life in abundance now. Amen. Get your heart set on how good God is. Get your heart set on how good God is because you really set the attitude of your life. You really do. Okay? So he came that we could enjoy our lives and have it in abundance. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. So we know that's Jesus. And he goes on, the hard man just does it for money. He's neither the shepherd nor the owner. Anyway, we're not going to keep going because you could keep on. Let's just go down to John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own and my own know me. They have a deep personal relationship with me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my very own life for the benefit of the sheep. Okay, so when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we need to get a strong relationship with God as our shepherd. And it's funny because in a lot of the teaching these days, you hear about him as your father, which is awesome. He is the Heavenly Father, is a powerful father. Amen. You hear him as your beloved bridegroom, which, yay, praise God for that relationship as you mature into that. Amen. But how about the beginning relationship he's talking about here? Because he says, this is where it starts. You come in through me in a relationship with me, and you develop a trust in me, and you learn that I will take care of you, provide for you, and protect you just as a shepherd. That's why I personally do not like the doctrine called covering, where man tries to be the shepherd. Amen? The shepherd is Jesus. He just told us so. And the rest of us are all sheep. Amen? And then God has other relationships and roles and positions he matures us into. But truthfully, even someone who's really in the fivefold ministry, they are a sheep. And as they are sheep following Jesus, amen, they can be called by God and used by God to help other sheep know God and walk with God and hear God, amen, as a gift to the body of Christ. Does everybody get the difference in that than following the voice of a man? I mean, people can really tell you almost anything if you buy into some of this false doctrine, and you just do whatever they say. Can I encourage you? Go look it up. See what God says. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because it doesn't say, if you follow the pastor, you will be protected. The way some people say it, you think it is, or the apostle. Everybody used to be pastor, now everybody's apostles. You know, follow the... Some of it makes me so, it's so bad. Well, how dare you make a move without talking to your spiritual father or your... I don't need to talk to a human being. I talk to God. He tells me to hear his voice. Amen? And yes, other people who really care for me, other people that God can use in my life, even a donkey if he wants, God can use. So I need to be sensitive and open and teachable. Amen? But the bottom line is Jesus Christ died on the cross to be the door for me to come into a relationship with God and enter into his kingdom. Amen? His kingdom is the pasture. Amen? And don't go in any other way because you can't. So there's a lot of believers who aren't sheep. Or let me say, there's a lot of people who have the Spirit of God who came in when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, but they're not sheep. Because they bought lies and they're following a man. They're trying to please a man. And that's a really bad place to be in spiritual warfare. Amen? Yeah, if y'all don't amen me, I'm leaving. Okay? Yeah, I'm gonna pray in some ameners. It's like, does nobody agree? I mean, all right, amen. There's really some people here. They really agree, I think. I'm wondering. It's like, this shouldn't be so shocking, okay? So it is important. We want to know what the most important thing is. You think you have this? Well, I'm going to give you an example to show you that this isn't, it's not complicated, but it's not, I won't say, it's not easy on the flesh. Amen? And the more difficult the trial, I think the more difficult to be still and trust God and hear God. So deal with your trust issues so God can hear you. So I'm just giving an example. I talked about this earlier, but I just see this. I've been walking with God for years, and I really hear God pretty clearly. And I walk into sermon. I know the word, and I go to all these conferences and teaching, and I love God and all these kind of things. Amen? And there's a lot of fruit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, and God's constantly changing me from glory to glory. And I mean constantly. And so I went through this little thing yesterday, and this was the kind of little thing you could just not worry about. Can I just tell you something? If you don't want a bigger trial, deal with the little things. Okay? If you don't want the bigger trial, then deal with the little things. And it's funny because God has been dealing with me on this certain thing now for about maybe 6 weeks, and little things would happen, nothing really big, but little things would happen, and things would go through my thinking, and I don't do anything in fear anymore. I say, I gotta get this now so the devil can't get me. No, God knows where I'm following him, I'm listening. But can I tell you, when something kind of reoccurs and you kind of find yourself in the same kind of trial, or you see yourself losing grace in certain areas, I'm telling you, Holy Spirit's trying to get through to you to be, and so God can be in front of you in this. Amen? How many would like to have Jesus in front of them? Amen. And we'd be amazed at how much trials we won't go through, the really bad stuff, if he's in front of us. Amen? And we're following him and hearing him. So sometimes he'll give dreams, which he's been doing that lately. And I think this is for the rest of our lives. Amen. He is going to make us holy. He's going to get all the evil out. He's going to deal with all these things. And he knows the order of that. Could you imagine if God just showed up and said, okay, all these things are wrong with you, and all these things have gotten into you, and all these plans are set against you, and all these generations of curses are there, and this, what would you do? Like, oh, you say, well, his blood covers it all, right? But until we repent, until we see it, the enemy's going to still try to use it. But when I see it, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. You shall know what? You shall say a prayer at the altar and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How many know that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth? How many know that he knows the truth that you need to be set free? How many know that this life isn't about getting set free, but this walk with God is about being changed into his likeness and his image, which is going to be freer and freer and freer. Amen? And so that is the process. That is happening. If that's not happening in your life, get back in the will of God. Amen? And so and I just say this to encourage you that we're supposed to count it all joy, our various trials. The little ones and the big ones. And the only way to do that is to recognize God's going to work something good in this, even when I didn't know there was something that needed to be worked there. So in my situation, there was just some tension going on between me and someone in my family that I'm very, very close to. And everything's going great, like really better than ever. And I couldn't figure out why I'd have these feelings come up or thoughts try to hit me to try to make me angry at this person. And there was nothing to even be angry about. When that happens, guess what's happening? Holy Spirit's in there going, let's get this stuff up. Let's get this up. Let's deal with this from the past. Let's deal with this wrong way of thinking with things. Let's deal with this. Not the devil, God, right? Devil is not your sanctifier. Holy Spirit is your sanctifier. Amen? He's in your spirit going, ooh. Has anybody done spring cleaning? Even normal cleaning. I mean, when you do some spring cleaning, you like see, you know, things like flies in the window panes or something, you know, stuff you don't normally look for. And they stay in mine way too long, but we'll talk about that later. But it's like, oh, I got to get that. And then you got to figure out how to get that and get it out. And because you're cleaning that house, right? We are the house. Holy Spirit's living in us. He's like, oh, we're going to clean this up. So don't give the devil credit for cleansing us. Amen? And don't try to be led by trials. Amen. Don't be led by trials. Be led by the Spirit of God, and God will prevent a lot of this damage the enemy wants to do. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice if spiritual warfare was not so intense because we actually got so covered by God's grace and in his will and let him deal with our heart issues? He's going to deal with our heart issues. That's what he's going to do. So let me just say, as we're talking about spiritual warfare, when you start getting these little hints and indicators that God's up to something, How many have ever had those little hints and indicators? Amen. Little dreams, little wrong feelings, little thoughts. Somebody says something, stuff from the past kind of resurfacing. Amen. Those are all, do not avoid this. These are all Holy Spirit going, come on, let's go here. Let's deal with this. And you can't rush him. You know, you just ask, Lord, show me what's going on. So I've been asking him, and it's funny because like in my situation, he took care of three things kind of at one time. How amazing is he? How amazing. I don't know how he does what he does. I don't know how God is so amazingly powerful to do all that he's doing all the time and all the different people. He's amazing. Don't even think we're him. Amen. Don't even begin to give a man or a woman the honor and credit that only belongs to God, that no man can get close to. Amen. No man can get close to what God is. It's just amazing. I'm perfectly thrilled and content that God himself would choose to live inside of me. Whoa, that's just so awesome. I will forever, ever be his slave. I will forever, ever be so grateful to be in his family. I will be so thankful that God chose to create us in his image and likeness, and chose to pour his love into us, and chose to live inside of us, and chose us just as we are. Amen? He's so amazing. So I'm not going to agree with condemnation, guilt. I'm not listening to that voice. Amen? I'm just not listening to that voice. So I'm sitting here going, okay, God, what's going on? And I had so strange little dreams and this and that. But one thing that I was talking on the phone to my sister about the other day, and I encourage people, find people you can just talk to. Not that you're all in each other's business. Just find somebody where you can hear yourself say things. And so I'm like, I'm saying, I don't know what's going on, but something's just trying to make me so mad at somebody. And there's no reason to be mad at this person. There's nothing even wrong going on. But it actually really wanted me to hate this person. Like the word hate would come into my thinking. And I'm thinking, I don't hate this person. I don't hate anybody. But it would come to me. Amen? The Bible says cast down imagination. So I'm casting them down. But if you keep getting imaginations that Holy Spirit's throwing back up, it's because he wants them out. Those are imaginations that you didn't know how to cast down before. You didn't know how to take authority over them, and they built up, and they're locked up inside of you. That's why it sounds like you. Did you hear me? How many would like to get the locked up, the locked up stuff out? Because that's the stuff that rises up, and all of a sudden you're overly reacting to something, or you're angry about something that you're really, it's like, I'm really not even angry about this, or I'm really not jealous about this, I'm really not mad about this, I'm really not, but something in me is acting like I am, and for some reason it's so strong I'm going along with it. Does anybody know what I'm saying? I know some people have no idea this kind of ministry, are like, what are they talking about? But I'm talking to those who do and those who don't go to the website and get caught up on all this. Amen? So it's like those hidden things of the heart, that's the biblical terminology. There are hidden things in our heart. No man can know it, the Bible says. But God knows it. So these are just indicators of a really important time to start really talking to God and hearing his voice. Amen? So I'm like, God, what's going on? Not in fear. I used to have this fear thing. I got to take care of this right away. And I would whack people trying to take care of it right away. Okay, don't be led by fear. God knows the timing. God knows the dreams. God knows the situations. God knows what he's doing. You just have a heart that says, God, I want to yield to you. I want to obey you, and I trust you, and then there's no panic. Now, that's not avoidance. Amen? Avoidance is, that's not happening. I've already dealt with that. Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not talking about denial avoidance. I'm talking about, okay, God, I know you're up to something, but I know it. And you know it, and I trust that you're big enough to bring it to the conclusion of victory. Amen? And so I'm just going to rest in that place of knowing we're working out something. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? So anyway, so I'm like, okay, Lord, what is going on? Because I haven't thought like this. I don't think like this. I've even shared before I was walking with God, how the enemy would talk to me and try to make me angry with people. So a situation happened, and I won't get into it. And there were some things I did that could have hurt somebody, and so I apologize for that. I saw that right away. And so, but it wasn't over yet. It was like I went for a walk with, took my little dog for a walk, and I was, those thoughts were pounding me about hating this person. And they were so ridiculous. It's like, I really, seriously, without question, know this is spiritual. Because I don't even have one inch of hate for anybody, but especially not this person. I absolutely am in love with this person. I absolutely love this person. Things are great. I don't even know what is going on. But I did know God was doing it, not the devil. Amen? God's like, we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with the hidden thing of the heart. You've been asking me to deal with the hidden things of the heart. Can I give y'all a real clue in with this stuff? If you ask him, he'll actually find something there. You mean there's something else? You're like, oh. But the freedom is so worth it. And the things that are stopping reconciliation in your relationships, the things that are hindering you from God giving you more authority, more power, being able to love in a stronger way, the things you see in your kids, let me say this, the things you see in your kids, the things you see in your kids, the things you see in your kids that you don't like seeing in your kids, most of them are in you. Maybe just a speck. But there's no authority in your prayers because it's only the prayers of the righteous that prevail. God's showing you this to answer your prayers for them. Amen? This is like spiritual warfare. This is like the weapon of being in the right place and right where God wants you to win every time. And there's really almost no warfare in that. Because you hear him, you know him, you obey him, your heart's right with him. Amen. How many is ready to get to that? How many are ready for these long trials that go on and on and on and on and on and on and beat up, same junk. So tonight we're going to get to some of these, I call them boxes inside of us from our past that speak so loud in our now. So the first thing you do is recognize I not only don't agree with this loud thing talking in me, I completely don't agree with this. Don't sit there and spend a lot of time trying to figure out if you agree with the enemy. Amen? How dumb would it be to agree with the enemy? How many realize that agreeing with the enemy would be stupid? Amen? So you don't have to try to convince yourself that you don't agree with him. Amen? You can choose to not agree with him. Let me tell you this. I don't agree with him, period. Explanation point. I don't agree with him. Sometimes I don't realize that what I'm thinking or what's happening has to do with him, but the minute I recognize it's him, I'm going to tell you this, I don't need a lot of reasoning and people convincing me not to agree with him. I get it. Evil one, enemy of God, is not somebody that I should have to even reason to not agree with. Amen? But to get free, I need to know the truth. You shall know the truth shall set you free. But can I tell you something? Oh, this is really good. Get this. I need to agree with God, period, before I'm going to get to the truth, to set me free. So if you let reasoning get in there trying to make you figure out, well, do I believe this? Am I think this? Then you're already carnal minded. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is an enemy to the spiritual mind, right? There's teaching on that. So get out of carnal minded trying to figure this stuff out. But I can't. Well, then you're never going to win. Until you choose to say, I am not going to get in the carnal-minded place with this. Amen? I'm not going to be carnally-minded about this. So what does that mean? It means I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to ask God to take care of it. God, I need you to take care of this. And I believe you will. I trust you. You're God. Amen? He's able to do this. Amen? So then you have to recognize, okay, I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to use reasoning. You can make this choice tonight. We make things so much more complicated. You don't go by your feelings. Amen? Don't go by your feelings. You get to choose whom you're going to serve. You get to choose that. You get to make that choice once and for all. When you get saved, you're actually supposed to be making that choice. The whole idea of baptism is goodbye old stuff, new life, following God. Period. But in the Western culture, because we can mix it all together and do whatever and try to justify, and what do? We keep reasoning alive and very little anointing and power and authority. Amen? So you can choose. I choose. Let me tell you, if you want to really win in spiritual warfare, you need to choose before the enemy even shows up that I'm going to agree with God. Period. I'm not going to let my reasoning try to figure it out. I'm going to agree with God because I'm going to agree with God. That isn't even something that should be difficult. I'm going to agree with God or I'm going to agree with the devil. Doug, let me think. Amen? I don't agree with the devil. Sometimes I don't recognize it's the devil. And if I'm thinking it's God and it's the devil, guess what? I'm following the wrong voice. Find out why and break that off. Amen? I'm following the voice of the Lord. So I'm like, okay, Lord. All my weapons are down. I'm not blaming this on that person. I'm not blaming this on that person. Blame is not the answer. What is going on in me that you've got at the surface? Because I don't even think this way. I never think this way about this person. I never feel this bad about this person. How many of us when God's like pushing that baby up? And you know what? God's Holy Spirit's like pushing it out. Do you know what the devil's desperately trying to do? Get you to agree with him. I really believe that most relationship breakups, whether between parents and children, siblings, really good friends, and especially husbands and wife, is based on these lies building up to where you finally agree with it. You know, the only way out of this is to never talk to them again. The only way out of this is a divorce. The only way out of this is to just cut ties and have nothing to do with it. That's what devil wants you to do. He wants you to destroy that relationship with your agreement with what he's pushing in your thoughts. Whoa! Amen? And he wins a lot, people. Because you listen and you listen and you buy it and you think it's you. And you listen and you reason and you think, oh, that's true. First of all, he's a liar. And God's not going to say stupid stuff. God's a God of love. God's a God who says, I can do everything. I can fix everything. I'm big enough to make all things work together for good. I'm a God of relationships. I've called you to be a minister of reconciliation, not a minister of destruction. So I'm like, okay, God. So I'm helping you understand. You've got to understand God and where he comes from in the sense of in these struggles. Because if you start thinking those thoughts are yours, they're going to destroy your effort to overcome. Amen? And if you start agreeing with the enemy, you're empowering those things. And Satan comes to this moment. I believe when God is the sanctifier, Holy Spirit is like pushing it up and pushing it up. It is a showdown. And everything the enemy can try. So let me tell you. First thing you do is speak the truth out loud to it. And you can just, you don't have to even use a Bible verse. Lord, I love this person. I'm not just saying that. I really love this person. Lord, I don't agree with this at all. Lord, something's going on here, and I thank you, God, that you're here, you're in charge of this, and you're going to set me free from this. Lord, I want nothing but I'm blessing this person, Lord. I just bless them. I thank you, you're working in this relationship. I thank you, no weapon formed against this relationship is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you, God. And then you start thanking God for things about that person. Amen. Even if it's somebody you really have a hard time with. But let me tell you, I've given you an example for someone I don't have a hard time with at all, and the Lord just exaggerated this thing so I can help people how to see how to do this warfare. Because the most important thing you're ever going to fight for is relationships. That's the most important thing you're ever going to fight for, and it's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. It's the most important thing you're ever going to fight for. Why would God call you a minister of reconciliation? He doesn't call you a minister of finances. He doesn't call you a minister of great career choice. And you know what? The sad thing is there are a lot of people in heaven without their loved ones because they did not get the revelation of what Satan is really after and what God is really after. God is after reconciliation in relationships. And it started with one with him. And we do anything but that because I don't want to deal with that. They've got to apologize first. And we buy these lies. And most spiritual warfare, a lot of it, is going to be about relationships. Now there's where the enemy attacks, but even, I won't get into that, sickness comes usually many times because we don't have our hearts right with relationships, but we won't get into all that. So I'm listening. So the first thing you do is you begin to recognize God's in charge of this. What's the word say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That means get your reasoning out of it. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. I don't know where that's at, but that's a powerful scripture. So that, if you want to win spiritual warfare, okay, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I'm trusting you in this. Lord, I'm trusting you with this relationship. Lord, I'm trusting you with this situation. Lord, I'm trusting you with my children. I'm trusting you with my husband. I'm trusting you with the ministry. Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I'm trusting you in this, Lord. Lord, I trust in the Lord with our heart. Lean not. Brain, shut up. We're not going to have a back and forth about this. We're not going to have a debate about this. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I don't know how we're going to do this, Lord. I don't know how you're going to take care of this, Lord. All I know is you're God. Nothing is impossible for you. Lord, I'm acknowledging you in this. I'm acknowledging you in my parenting. I'm acknowledging you in my marriage. I'm acknowledging you as the pastor of this church. I'm acknowledging you, God, as whatever your job role is. I'm acknowledging you as that's my parents. I'm acknowledging you in this. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will always make your path straight. What does that mean? I'm following him. I'm hearing his voice. I'm going to win this. I'm going to overcome this. Satan's going to lose. Not only that, what's meant for evil, God will turn to good. Oh, yay, the good is coming. Thank you, God. I thank you for your promises. Amen? So one of the first things I've done, I got to hear you, God. I got to fast. I got to pray. I got to spend time. I got to put aside the busyness of the world. I've got to do what I have to do to connect and hear God. And can I tell you, if you have an ongoing walk with God and you're in his word and you love him and you don't get too busy, that's easy because that relationship is right there all the time. Amen? It's right there all the time. If you only run to him when you're in a mess, it's going to be harder to hear him. Amen? And so then I'm like, okay, God, I don't get this. And then for me, I went over all the stuff that I had kind of already dealt with. Lord, I've got rid of that. I know that's how I used to handle this. I don't know what makes me feel like that. And so I'm praying. So before I go to bed last night, and it's not all settled, what does the Bible say? Don't go to bed. What does it say? Don't go to sleep. Don't let your sun go down on your anger. Okay, let me say, that doesn't mean you have to go talk to the person. We do so much fake stuff. Well, good night, I still love you, goodbye. You know, no, he's meaning, deal with this, get with me, and let's figure this out. Amen? Don't go to bed worrying about this. Don't go to bed with this unsettled. God's like, it's okay not to sleep tonight. But talk to me. And so I was amazed as God was doing this because it wasn't a big deal. Let me tell you, this was not a big deal thing. And I want you to know that everything's not a big deal. Praise God. I've had big deals. I know big deals. Amen. I know what a big deal thing is. This was not a big deal thing. Isn't it amazing that we can be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and so much wanting to be made in his image and his likeness that the not big deals we take as seriously as a big deal because we want our hearts right with God. Amen. We want our hearts right with God. I'm like, God, I don't want any evil in me. I don't want anything that's not of you. And I'm like, Lord, so I'm counting this joy. I don't know where we're going to go with this, but I just had no peace. Let me see that. I had peace because I was seeking God, but I was grieved in my spirit. There's scriptures where Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Does anybody know what that feels like? Does anybody know? It's kind of like this, you don't feel like you're out of his will, but you don't feel like it's settled. And you feel like, God, there's something here you're trying to do. Amen? I mean, you in the Philippines, you have that quite a bit. You know, but you know what I'm saying? That's okay, people. It's in the Bible. Jesus lived with that revelation and reality. Amen? It's okay. We have got to quit shoving everything to the side and getting busy and making up stuff. When God has us troubled in our spirit, amen, when the situation has us thinking something's not right, that is a time to pray. That's a time to fast. That's a time to say, God, I want this settled. We live in a society that loves distractions. We live in a society that loves to avoid. And what we do is we set ourselves up for a gigantic smack upside the head by the enemy. But if we follow behind the Lord, we're like, Lord, and it's, have you ever had it where you didn't even know why you were feeling strange and you really didn't even know how to put your finger, but you knew that something was going on. And let me tell you, you cannot do it because, you know, I'm going to get to the other side of this. And it's going to be good, even though right now I can't. Right now, I just feel almost feel sad. I almost feel like, you know, what have I done wrong? What's going on? And so then you start talking to God about it. What triggered this, God? What is this? And I was like, I said, Lord, only you know. So in my situation, it was really about this whole hate word. I know I don't hate anybody. I've had people cuss me out to my face. I don't hate them. I've had people want me dead. I don't hate them. I've had lots of really mean stuff, and I had some stuff even on Facebook happen a little bit this week, and I just walked in love. I know I don't hate. So why is there this hate dialogue that still tries to go in my head over something that's not even a big deal? So I know we're going over. I'll finish this up quickly. I love this. So I'm going to tell you what the Lord took me. It's so wild. Huh? Okay. What's your question?
Was the dialogue going on in you, was it based on something, a real conversation you had with that person?
Yeah, it was based on the way somebody reacted to something that I did. Like somebody was a little upset with something that I did that could have been a big deal, wasn't a big deal, and the intentions behind it were good. But that doesn't matter as much as what's God showing me? Because it could be nothing happened. Amen? It's more about the trouble. I'm troubled in my spirit, just like the Lord talks about. I want it settled. Amen? So you can't make God tell you. Amen? You can't, if you start making him tell you something, you know what you can end up doing? You can conjure up something, which means the devil will come and give you an answer, but it won't be a true answer. So you just recognize, this is where I'm at right now. Okay, this is where I'm at right now. But God, I know you know the answer, and I got ears to hear what you have to say. Show me. So God gave me this scripture, and this is the wildest scripture. Only God could give you this scripture. And at first you read and think, that doesn't sound like much. But anyway, let me see if I can find it. It was Jeremiah, which is always scary if God gives you Jeremiah. He gives me Jeremiah a lot, like, Lord help. Jeremiah 12 in verse like 7, 8. So, I have abandoned my house. I have given up my precious inheritance. I have given the dearly beloved of my life into the hands of her enemies. I'm like, oh, that's not good. Don't like that one, Lord. I kept reading. Whenever I get one, and it's like, I'm not really going with that one. Now this one, I said, my inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has raised her voice and roared against me. So I have come to hate her. And I was kind of kept going, I said, wait a minute, it just hit me. See, when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the word hate hit me. Why? Because that's what kept coming up. Like, I just, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's not even a big deal. I just hate my job. I just hate it. I just hate this marriage. I just hate, I just hate the way my kids treat me. I just hate. And you actually see the word hate, which is a very strong word. Amen. And none of those things should you hate. You shouldn't hate a job. God's given it to you for a provision. You shouldn't hate any human being. Amen. You certainly shouldn't hate your children or even, so even if we get better, we can say, I hate the way this makes me feel. The truth is, if we got raw and real, we say, I hate them for making me feel this way. Amen. And so the word hate was just bouncing around. And I'm just not somebody who walks around hating. Amen. Thank God for sanctification. I'd have been really horrific had God not gotten a hold of me. I'm just telling you. But the hate stood out to me. So I'm teaching you how to hear God, because it's not always this, because this was a concept he was showing me I just couldn't get. Because I went over my head everything I knew, and I know a lot, and all the stuff I could think of, and I'm like, Lord. So I read it, it said, my inheritance for this relationship should be good, because this is a godly relationship. But it has become to me like a lion in the forest. And you can study that out, and we all need to get free. A lion preys, it like looks to pounce on. And then she has raised her voice, even though this necessarily wasn't about a woman. She has raised her voice and roared against me. And the Lord it just started hitting me. It's when somebody has a spirit on them, and it's their protection, it's their whatever, and you could do something to really trigger it, or you could do nothing and it's triggered, but it tries to intimidate you, it tries to put you in your place, so to speak, and it raises its voice, and it has that edge on it, and it roars, so it's like it puts something in your heart to be afraid. And when I saw this, it's like, when the Lord says, my inheritance, that's us, those who should bring him pleasure, those should bring him great joy, for him as Judah, his inheritance. So I was thinking, this relationship should be a blessed relationship. And Lord, it really is. This relationship should bring me great joy. But that thing that got triggered, that raises its voice and comes at me, that thing makes me hate. And then I said, God, I don't want to hate. And that thing comes from a hurt place in someone. And the Lord says, is that thing in you? You know, if it's not in you, you usually have so much authority over it. But if it's in you, even if you don't give in to it anymore, then God will take that authority until you get it out of you. Because this wasn't a fight or anything, you guys. This was not a big deal. But God made sure it was a big deal, because he's like, we're going after this. So I said, Lord, I said, first of all, I know this person got this as a generational curse. I know that someone in their family line used this a lot and really hurt them. I know that this person feels wounded when this happens. And they've got so much fruit of the Spirit, it rarely happens, and it's so much different than it used to be. And I said, Lord, that thing That generational curse has tried to destroy this relationship for years. And it's had very little power, thank you. But God, that thing was also on somebody in my family line. Actually, all the way back to a grandfather, and then somebody, their child, and then me, who was their child. And I said, God. And that was a really loud voice with a real roar. This other one wasn't. This other one's more intellectually kind of thing. And I'm like, Lord, and I've had that. I've had that. I've even had that with people at the ministry. I didn't mean to. But I would see where I wanted to help them. But that spirit would come up and make it like pray, like make people feel like, oh, she's attacking me. And then I realized, wow, when they feel that, then it makes them want to hate. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? It's strong that people who care about you, people who love you, and the enemy can do this stuff in your past and do this stuff, or people be sensitive and they hate. Let me say, if this gets you, you probably have it, okay? Otherwise, you have authority over it. And I say this because a lot of times when I preach, people who live in this victim mentality are like, I knew it. No, it's in you he's dealing with tonight. Amen? He's dealing with you tonight. If you don't let him start dealing with you, you'll never change. I have no trouble humbling myself. I have no trouble repenting. I have no trouble at all wanting God to heal any place that any hurt place in me has hurt anybody. I have no trouble with it. Praise God. Because this isn't between people. Amen? This is about God's love overcoming the power of evil that is in every heart. Amen? But if you live in this victim mentality, all you want to hear is people apologizing to you and people telling you where, see, and then you get this judgment, see, I knew it. This isn't about a see, I knew it. This is, you need to get that wall down. I'm just telling you, people in here right now are doing it and people on watching and people who'll see this later. This isn't about see, I knew it, okay? Can I just say that? You will never have breakthrough if your first reaction is see, I knew it. That's a judgment. And God wants you to stop and say, God, show me now. Help me to quit hiding behind this wall that says, poor me. Everybody misunderstands me. Poor me. I'm always abused. I'm always hurt. Poor me. Okay? Can we walk out from poor me? Jump up on top of that wall, put it under your feet. Whoa! And say, you know what, devil? You're not doing this to me anymore. You are not running me away from the deep things of God. You are not having me look for everybody else to be wrong and to point fingers at them. Lord, you are not stopping me from getting deeper in you. If I really have to look at things, I realize that the fruit in the lives of the people who will quit being victims and the fruit in the lives of the people who will stand out and humble themselves and repent of their sins before God, amen? God is going to use them mightily and thank God for them, amen? And Lord, I'm not going to stay in this place with my whole life falling apart, still in so much bondage because I have a lie that says, ooh, see, I knew. That kind of discernment you just well get rid of. That's a hiding place from dealing with you, amen? I'm not saying this to hurt you, because this is a thing. I'm not going to lose the prophetic edge to help people get free. Amen? I'm not losing it. This isn't like, oh, I'm so bad, I'm not going to preach truth anymore. I'm not going to point out people's junk. And I know that makes people really, really, oh, when God puts his finger on you, he hits his finger on you because he loves you. Amen? And he wouldn't have me speaking to you if I didn't have his kind of love for you. Amen? I want you free, people. Amen. I want to be free, and I demonstrate how to get free. And he even took me to scriptures about how I'm supposed to demonstrate this right after that. And I'm telling you, your wall is much more your problem than other people who have their problems. Amen. See, this wasn't the problem of the person who had the roar. This was the problem of me because it was affecting me. And it's not for me to change the person with the roar. It's not for me to point at the person with the roar. It's not for me to say, see. That is what Adam did with Eve. That is dysfunction. That is guilt. This is bad. God wants you free from it. Amen. He wants you to stand up, get on top of that wall, put it under your feet and say, here I am, Lord. Change my heart. When have I done these things? I can face it. I can grab the hand of God and face what the enemy's had me do. Amen. Is it humbling? Yes, he's cool about that. Amen? How many actually knows he likes that? If he hasn't humbled you, you are hiding behind a wall to not be changed into his likeness. And I'll promise you, your life is pretty miserable because there's nothing greater than the freedom of repenting and healing that comes in God's love. And yes, it's humbling. But he's into that. And that wasn't a lion pouncing on you. That was the Holy Spirit, the Lion of Judah, wanting to set you free. Amen? Yes. But of course, the enemy's going to try to get in that stuff to do the other. And so the other has been done, and I do repent, and I apologize to any and everyone who's ever been here for any length of time. It's probably hit you. But so has the love of God. And so I'm not apologizing for being where I am in God. I'm not apologizing for ministering when he's called me to minister. And I'm thankful because I asked him, when are you going to bring more people? And he already showed me when I deal with what I need to deal with. And so to me, it's like, wow, we're closer to more people coming because you just dealt with something else. And I'm not just blaming things on everybody and anything else. I'm not saying we don't have good marketing. I'm saying God's going to deal in my heart because when he gives me the authority and power and anointing that I'm already walking in, I want to help people. I don't want to hurt people. I want to set people free. And I'm going to get right in the devil's face, but I'm going to recognize that you're not the devil, and my heart is that you'll see that I'm not thinking you're the devil. Amen? But I'm ready. People, I am ready to set captives free. I am ready to go wherever I have to go and do whatever I have to do and lay down my reputation and everything else and let everybody say whatever they want to say and however it rolls to set people free and bring them into a true relationship with God of total freedom and love of him. Amen. Free from addiction, free from all the junk of the world, free from self-hate, free from low self-esteem. And I'm not going to walk on eggshells. I'm going to crush them. And enjoy watching them crack. Because it's not people. People want to be free. Don't you want to be free? You got to get a taste of wanting to be free. You got to get a taste of, I just want to be free. It's for freedom he sets you free. It must be good. And you got to get raw yourself. You got to get real and raw in your groups. You got to get there and say, okay. I always hide behind this wall that it's everybody else's fault. And the truth is I'm jumping up on the wall tonight and saying, it's my fault. I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. I have hurt people. I have judged people. I have talked about people. I have done all the crap that everybody else has done. And I am here to say, I ask God to forgive me. Amen. Man, some of you can't even begin to say you sinned. Feel good because you go to a little group or we go in a circle and say, we sinned, we sinned. How about stand up and shout it? It's okay. It's okay. You're all sinners. So am I. Why do you think he died for us? Aren't you glad he died for us? Aren't you so glad he died for us? He needed to die for us. He wants us free. He wants us free. It feels so good to be free. Be free in your personality. I'll be free in my personality. And we'll all get together and glorify God. Amen. So anybody who had any spirit in them thinking, oh, good, she's not ever going to do that again. No, I'll do it. But led by God to set you free. And I pray that God gets everything else out of the way. And I don't apologize for how many people have been set free in this place, even had to put up with some mess. Amen. And I'm sure there's more in there of mess. But those who want to get free will say, okay, God, show me what you want me here for. Show me what you're doing in me. Amen. And let me tell you, you want reconciliation with your family? Be real. Not fake real, real real. And don't go to people and apologize and try to make things right till you really get it out of your heart. Because that confuses people. Oh, you've said that before. You said that before. Now this, wait till they can tell something's changed. Amen? And when you have these encounters with God and he shows you, and that's my thing is, how could he give you such an awesome scripture? And so then you sit there and don't say, oh, that some of you, not you, nobody here, of course, but some stranger in some distant land that we none know who doesn't have the great relationship with God that we all have, that person will hear this message and say, see, I knew it's because they're like a lion roaring with a loud voice. I knew they shouldn't be yelling at me. That's not the message. The message is that the enemy was able to get me to hate. Does it matter who he uses? Does it matter who he uses if he's able to get me to hate? Does it matter who he uses if he's able to get you to hate? The issue in this revelation isn't what the other person did. The issue in this revelation is I was wounded by the enemy, and in that woundedness, I picked up hate. And I've taken hate and I've shoved it down, and I smile and I act like I don't have it, but it's in there. And then when it comes out, I blame the other person for bringing it out and try to shame them and guilt them and think they did something wrong. And the truth is, that hate is in me and I'm tired of it. The truth is, I am no different than everybody else, and I need a savior, and I need a deliverer, and I need a healer, and I want the hate out. Does that mean everybody has it? I don't know. But if you do, get rid of it. And if you don't, then praise God, be it's only because of his grace that you don't. Amen? And here's was a vision I saw. I saw the Lord go down inside of me, and this is kind of funny. God, you're too hilarious. I just cleaned up these gardens like you would not believe. I'm talking, oh my gosh. The reason I didn't do before pictures is it was too embarrassing. They were so bad. The after pictures are good. The before pictures were too embarrassing. You will not see them. And I was sweating and stinking and gross, and I put down weed stuff and all this stuff and digged up stuff, and God is doing something with this gardening thing. Threw mulch on it, everything. Watered it, everything. But there's this box, because I didn't know where to put all the debris. So my husband wants to take it to the dump. So I got a big, thick box as something came in, and I put all this dirt and all this junk and all these thorns and everything in this box. And I closed it up. Then the storm was coming last night. I thought, oh, the box is going to get wet all over the yard. So I got, this box weighs like 200 pounds. I put this on a thing and rolled it over in front of the garage, and I put it right in front of John's Corvette so he will move that box. It's not going anywhere when he's ready to go for a ride. It's not why I put it there, but that's where it ended up. But anyhow, because there's cover there. So when the Lord is showing me this inner healing that he's going to do, I saw him go down inside of me to this box, and it was covered up just like that. And when I think about it, it has all the dirt, it has all the debris, it has all the thorns, it has all the dead leaves and stuff. And it's right in there, nice packaged in this little brown box, pretty big box actually. And he went in and he opened the box and he took all the hate out of the box. Because until I face it and recognize it's not about that person, it's not about what just happened now. This is a box that's been there since probably before I was born as a generational curse. This is a box that was placed in me by the enemy to make me sensitive to being anybody's voice being raised at me or anybody seeming to attack me. And what I took on to handle is, I'll attack you back. What you took on to handle is, I'm just going to hide here and be like I'm the good one. Amen? It doesn't matter what you took on to handle it. The box is there. Amen? And I already got rid of the stuff that I took on to handle. I got rid of me. I got rid of all of it. Some of you need to get rid of your walls to cover it and your judgments so you can get to that box. Because wouldn't it be awesome to love? So if you want to get rid of the box, stand up. Whoa. And you don't have to stand up. My eyes are closed. If you don't stand up, maybe you don't have a box. That's okay. Maybe you have a little box. Maybe your box is just a teeny, itsy, bitsy box. Let's get rid of it. Whew. Lord, we thank you for the cross. I just want you in your own words to thank him for the cross. Thank him for becoming sin. Oh, thank him for letting every bit of hate that you've ever shoved in that box, every bit of hurt, every bit of hate that made you have that feeling, I hate you. I hate you. I just hate you. I hate this. 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 You know, no one's ever killed himself that didn't have a box full of hate. Whoa! Oh! If we would just start going after the boxes, we wouldn't have to go to so many funerals. How? Oh. Father, we come before you. And we thank you for your son. We thank you for our Savior. He saved us from this hate. He saved us from this hate. He saved us. He delivered us from this hate. I want you to open up your arms to God. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to get that box out. Just get it out. It doesn't belong in there. I I see Jesus smiling for those who are really getting this. Some of you got to go and get more revelation, ask God to show you, make it real. But for those who are getting it, those who feel the anointing, those who say, gosh, I want this out. I want this out. I didn't even know. Whoa. Phew. Here's what he's showing me. The counterfeit of casting down imaginations that go against the word of God, that casting down is cast them away from your spirit so they never get in. The counterfeit is shove them down in this box. I really hate them. I'm not going to think about it. I hate it when they do this. I forgive them. I'm not going to think about it. Say, Heavenly Father, I love. You are love. You live inside of me. And I am love. Whoa. And I choose love. And nothing of hate, except to hate evil, can dwell inside of me. I belong to you. This vessel is holy and set apart for you, God. A holy God. And now that I've discovered this bottled up hate, I agree with you, God. I don't hate anyone. I just hate the enemy. I hate how he set things up. I hate how he's used people. And I hate the evil that he's put in my heart. I hate the evil he's caused me to do. But I don't hate myself. Whoa. And I don't hate any human being. But this bottled up hate, this hidden hate, this counterfeit cast down, I'm exposing it to light. And it's no longer going to be in my thoughts. It's no longer going to try to isolate me from relationships. Ho! Oh! It's no longer going to be seen as okay. I'm going to be free from it. I am not who the devil says that I am. I am not the evil that has been shoved down in here. And other people are not the evil that the enemy put in them. I want all of this hate out. And Jesus, your love, your perfect love, it casts out the fear that brought this hate in. The fear of rejection, the fear of abandonment, the fear of worthlessness. Any fear, the fear of punishment, fear of death, all that fear, your perfect love, your unconditional, perfect love that was revealed on the cross, cast this thing out. And I come in agreement with your work on the cross. And I command this hidden hate to loose me now. Whoa, in the name of Jesus. And I see the Lord, and I just see him looking into the box, and he's smiling because he knows it doesn't belong there. And I just see him stirring all that mess up, and it's almost like ashes. And they're just, the wind of the Spirit is catching them and taking them out of the box, taking them out of the box, taking them out of the box. Angels are catching them in these gigantic big, like those construction, those black big bags that people put leaves and stuff in. Oh, contractor bags. And they're just catching it. He's just stirring it up. He's having fun stirring it up, getting it out, 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 getting it out. And when it's all gone, he grabs that box and he steps on it and he flattens it so it's not painful taking it out, praise God. Ha! Whew! So for those who know he's taking it out, and some of you are, you're like, Lord, oh, here's a good one. Lord, take it out and get rid of it that way. I'll still deal with all those things. But can we just get this out? If you got faith for that, phew. Phew. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I command that box to be gone, to disappear, to be completely gone in the name of Jesus. I have authority over it, and there's no place for it in the house of God. I am his building, and there's no place for any foundation of hate to be inside of me. And I command it out in Jesus' name. Whoa. And I want you to see the box under your feet now. And I want you to take a step away from it, in front of it, and say, that past is over. That past is over. That past is over. It can't speak to me. It can't overtake my thoughts. It's gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us. Come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.